Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Wilbur J. Cohen Building, which is the home of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, the International Broadcasting Bureau, and of course, the Voice of America, whose worldwide television, radio, and internet broadcasts originate just a few feet from where we are this afternoon. Today's ceremony is being fed live throughout the Cohen Building and is also available worldwide via video stream on demand. Thank you all for coming to this joyous and auspicious occasion, the swearing in of Richard M. Dick Lobo as the seventh director of the International Broadcasting Bureau, also known as the IBB. Dick, it's good to have you back. I'm Joe O'Connell, former director of the Office of Public Affairs for the International Broadcasting Bureau. I'm delighted to be among so many friends and colleagues. Dick Lobo is no stranger here himself. My own association with him goes back to the mid-1990s, when he served as director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. That's U.S. International Broadcasting's entity that supervises radio and television Spanish language broadcast of news and information to Cuba. At that time, the office was located around the corner from where we are now, and so Dick and I saw a lot of each other. In fact, in this fall season of homecomings, our gathering today marks a return to familiar ground for both Dick and his family, as it surely does for so many of you who are here this afternoon. Welcome home. Dick Lobo is taking on some enormous challenges in his new job. The International Broadcasting Bureau provides program placement and transmission services for all of the BBG's broadcast organizations, manages a global network of transmitting sites and an extensive system of leased satellite and fiber optic circuits, along with a rapidly growing internet.
You're doing my speech, Joe.
Anybody still awake out there? And that's just for starters. Clearly, this is not a job for the faint-hearted, and Dick Lobo is anything but faint-hearted. He's an Emmy-winning journalist whose long career includes stints in both public and commercial broadcasting. He served as chairman of Florida Public Broadcasting Service, president and chief executive officer of PBS station WEDU in Tampa, St. Pete, Sarasota, president and general manager of WTVJ in Miami, station manager of WNBC TV in New York, and vice president and general manager of NBC stations in Chicago and Cleveland. I think you'll agree that U.S. International Broadcasting is indeed fortunate to have Dick Lobo. Before proceeding with our program, I'd like to acknowledge and introduce a few of our guests who are here today. Please stand and be recognized as I call your name. Barry Alpert. Is Barry here with us today? Barry is chairman of the board of the Florida West Coast Public Broadcasting, West Central Florida's primary PBS broadcaster. Oh, and Barry is also Dick's former boss.
I work for him.
Indeed. Dan Austin. Dan has served as director of VOA since 2006, which I believe makes him one of the longest serving VOA directors. And more recently, acting director of the IBB. Before joining VOA, Dan spent 36 years with Dow Jones, serving as chairman and CEO of the company's Ottawa newspapers. Dr. Rolando Bonachea. Rolando is former director of Radio Marti and also deputy director and later acting director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. Glad to see you here, Rolando. Brian Conniff. Brian is president of the Middle East Broadcasting Corporation, whose Radio Sawa and TV Al Hura are also part of the U.S. International Broadcasting family. Brian joins Joe Bruns, who's here on my right, Kevin Close, and most recently Dan Austin as Dick Lobo's predecessors at the helm of the IBB, who are with us today. Bob Coonrod. Bob was recently named president and CEO of Intermedia, the principal provider of audience and media research for the BBG. He's also a former president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and deputy director of VOA. So welcome back, Bob. Chris Davis is representing the White House Office of Legislative Affairs. Welcome, Christopher, and thank you very much for all of your hard work on behalf of the BBG in this past year. Carlos Garcia Perez, I'm not sure he's here this afternoon.
Yes,
Carlos is the new director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. He's an attorney and was previously with Goldman Antonetti in Cordova, one of the largest law firms in Puerto Rico. A warm bienvenido to you from all of us, Carlos. Substituting for representing Pat Harrison, who's president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is Vinny Curran, who is chief operating officer of CPB. Welcome, Vinny. Alan Heil. Alan is former deputy director of VOA and author of the definitive Voice of America, a history published by Columbia University Press in 2003 and 2006. Alan Horlick, Alan's a colleague of Dick's from their NBC days and currently president of WUSA-TV, the CBS affiliate here in Washington. Welcome. Kevin Close, is Kevin here today? Oh, sorry, Kevin couldn't make it. Kevin is, as I said, one of Dick's predecessors. He's now dean of the Journalism School at the University of Maryland. Michael Horowitz, who's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, director of the of Hudson's Project for Civil Justice Reform and Project for the International Religious Liberty. He served as general counsel in the OMB during the Reagan administration. Welcome to you. Paul Foldy. Paul is a professional staff member working with Senate Foreign Relations Committee ranking minority member Richard Lugar, Senator Lugar. Paul. Michael Meehan. Michael, along with Chairman Isaacson, is a new member of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, also serves as president of Blue Line Strategic Communications, Inc., and a senior VP at Verillion, a digital media company. Welcome, Michael. I believe Francisco Sanchez and Michael Schianti, are there them here today? Okay. Francisco is an old friend of Dick's from Tampa days and is currently Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade and head of the International Trade Association. Welcome. Al Snyder, speaking of homecomings, Al was the pioneering first director of the U.S. Information Agency's WorldNet television back in the 1980s, which later became VOA's worldwide and multilingual satellite television network. Al and Dick were also classmates at the University of Miami. Welcome back, Al, to you. Go Canes. Are they going this year? Jeff Trimble, whom I saw here earlier, is executive director of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, previously served at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and before that was an editor, reporter, and Moscow bureau chief for U.S. News and World Report. Jeff, nice to see you. Diane Zeleny, is Diane here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Diane is director of communications at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and is today representing RFERL President Jeff Gedman, who is traveling. Welcome, Diane. Thank you all very much. I would now like to turn the microphone over to my former colleague, Joe Bruns, who was IBB's very first director back in 1994, so it's fitting that Joe is here today on this occasion of the swearing in of Dick. In the 1990s, Joe led the efforts to consolidate U.S. international broadcasting, which resulted in the creation of the IBB and of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which is today responsible for all U.S. overseas broadcasting, U.S. government-supported overseas broadcasting. Joe was later both chief financial officer and chief administrative officer at San Francisco's public broadcasting station, KQED. He has been, more recently, he's been the chief operating officer and executive vice president of WETA, which is the leading public broadcaster in the Washington, D.C. area. You may, for those of you who live in the Washington area, you may see Joe at fundraising time because he's often on the air. Joe Bruns.
If you'd like to make a pledge, Joe will take them today.
I do have some forms with me, and we can get you the coffee cups later. I'm truly honored to be here this afternoon to speak on behalf of my friend and colleague, Dick Lobo. I've known Dick since 1994, when he was appointed by President Clinton to be the director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, and I was the acting director of the Voice of America. Dick came to OCB from Miami, but not from a tumultuous Miami political scene, but rather from an award-winning broadcast journalism background with NBC. Dick hit the ground running. Heading up the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, or doing it well, required what one of our former colleagues, Sid Davis, used to refer to as industrial strength management. But Dick saw the potential to move beyond the internal strife that was occasionally on display and to solidify OCB as a credible source of news and programming. In one particularly bold and imaginative move, Dick broadcast to Cuba gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House Foreign Affairs Committee hearings on the Cuba embargo, demonstrating to the Cuban audience a true example of political debate in a democratic forum, yes, warts and all. But it was Dick's approach, respect the integrity of your colleagues and the intelligence of the audience, tell the truth and let it speak for itself. As some of you know, with the creation of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, I was named the first director of IBB, the position that Dick was appointed to by President Obama and confirmed unanimously by the Senate and will be formally sworn in today. And Dick, who after his successful run at OCB, went on to be my colleague again, to be president of, and CEO of WEDU in Tampa, called me when he was considering this position. Now, having actually held this position myself, and actually being a friend of Dick, you might wonder why I didn't warn him about the job, especially given my experience. Well, I have a response to that. The fact is that I believe Dick to be a perfect fit, and most especially at this time, teamed with Walter Isaacson, they are the right team to meet the considerable challenges that U.S. international broadcasting faces. Their combination of journalistic experience and management skill, their dedication to ideas and ideals, could finally fulfill the promise of an integrated and expansive international media that was originally envisioned for the post-Cold War era. But enough of that, we're here to celebrate, and so let's get on with the ceremony.
Joe, thank you very much. At this juncture, it's my pleasure to call on Walter Isaacson, the new chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, who will swear in Dick Lobo. Chairman Isaacson is president of the Aspen Institute and also serves as chair of the board of Teach for America. He's the former chairman and CEO of CNN and also former editor of Time magazine. He's the author of Einstein, His Life and Universe, and Benjamin Franklin, An American Life, and the co-author of The Wise Men. Chairman Isaacson.
Thank you very much, Joe. And you're right, the job you described is not for the faint-hearted. And henceforth, we will be calling him Richard the Lionhearted in your honor. It's a great pleasure for me to be taking part in the ceremony of the swearing-in of Dick Lobo. Dick is a person of great journalistic integrity, wonderful humor, wonderful style, great management skills, everything we need. And so I don't think he will just need the lion's heart. He will bring all of those to bear. It's also just been an absolute joy being in his presence. So this is a great pleasure for me and certainly for all of you who've come out to witness this occasion. Let me ask, is there anybody in the audience who has not been singled out and asked to stand up? Because if you haven't been, I can remedy that. Pleased to have Dick in this important position as the Director of International Broadcasting. Our mission is a journalistic one, and as a journalist, or at least a recovering journalist, it's great to have a journalistic partner in Dick, because to succeed, we need two things. We need to retain our credibility, and we need to reach our audiences. Dick is an expert at both. As a journalist, he's always maintained the highest standards of credibility, but he's also somebody who's run great organizations and known how to reach an audience. Some of the audiences that we try to reach are in quite inhospitable and remote locales, even more so than Tampa, Florida. And others are in the midst, and this is actually an even bigger challenge sometimes, in the midst of places like Beirut or other areas where there's a cacophony of media outlets, large numbers of voices speaking, and it's not just through being able to reach them, but for them to choose us as the credible source. That's one of the important challenges. The other important challenge, which Dick is very well placed to meet, is that the BBG and all of its entities use a full spectrum of media platforms to reach its audience. That's always been the case. It will always be the case. We love everything from radio to television to shortwave AM, FM, and now the new platforms of digital media. There are even a few of us in the building who think print is not the worst of all technologies, and I was pleased to see in our visit to Prague last week that Radio Free Europe has figured out one of the best ways to circumvent firewalls is to drop newspapers on some of the places in Afghanistan. But I do think that Dick is somebody who, even though he has been around for a while, has always adapted to new media. You've done so in all of your things. And in our discussions, It is going to be very exciting to watch you with your both deep knowledge of new and digital media, but also your passion for it, bring us into that new world, especially as the BBG and the its entities enter into the comprehensive look at our strategy and look for ways not only to use digital media, but connective and interactive media, ways that we can not just hand down our broadcasts on tablets or our broadcasts on touch, but that we can engage and facilitate the sharing of information. Sharing of information in a peer-to-peer way, where we marry our role as journalists to this new age so that people can get, share, and check out accurate and credible information. So to do that, we're going to lean on your qualifications as a great veteran journalist, and we're counting on your keen sense of news and your keen sense of humor to understand the role of social and new media, but also appreciate the traditional media that's always been at the heart of what we do. And so at this time, if Karen, you'll stand up and hopefully bring a Bible, and join me and Dick as we administer the oath of office. Is this a different oath?
We just add a line there for you.
Oh, okay. I get it. It is different. You please put your hand on the Bible and repeat after me.
I hope the room doesn't shake.
All right, all right. I, Richard M. Lobo.
I, Richard M. Lobo.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office of which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Walter, for doing the honor. Appreciate it. This is my ceremonial swearing in. Just truth in advertising, I was officially sworn in on September 17th by Jeff Trimble so that I could get to work and start earning a living. But thank you for the ceremonial swearing in. And Joe O'Connell, thank you so much for pitching in as our MC today. Joe Bruns, for your friendship and your generous remarks. And Karen, for coming along in this wonderful 30-year adventure together, and also for coordinating this wonderful event with a great team of folks here at the agency. Thank you very much. And Walter, there are a few people that weren't introduced, and I'd like to take the opportunity. Yes. And I'd like to have you meet the members of my family who traveled to Washington to help me celebrate. First of all, my eldest son, Lance Lobo, and my daughter-in-law, Dr. Bonnie Gabriel Lobo. My daughter, Laura McLean. My son, Christopher, and my daughter-in-law, Michelle Nemchek Lobo. And my five above-average grandchildren. Thea Lobo, Ian Lobo, Barry McLean, John McLean Jr., and Ava Sophia Lobo. And finally, my mother-in-law, Alice Harder Reagan, a member of the greatest generation. Alice, you should know, was a skilled welder at a shipyard in Wisconsin during World War II. Alice? and to all of my dear friends, my good friends, who just couldn't resist the free food and drink, and who traveled from faraway exotic places such as Coconut Grove, New York, Chicago, Tampa, Sarasota, Los Angeles, and Manassas. Thank you all for coming. Your presence here means the world to me. And I want to take this opportunity to again thank you, Dan Austin, for your committed, intelligent, far-sighted leadership as IBB's acting director for the last 3 years. And Dan, I look forward to working with you in your role as director of VOA. Thank you, Dan. Well, after a year-long nomination process and a lifelong career in journalism and broadcasting, I'm very happy indeed to be appointed to this role by President Obama. It's one of the greatest honors of my life. I believe very strongly in the mission of U.S. International Broadcasting, and as many of you know, our common goal is to serve the interests of this country by communicating directly with the people of the world and to provide them with accurate, objective, and balanced news and information. The true meaning of what we do is reflected in a story of a young child growing up in Romania in the 1980s. She lived in an environment of oppression and persecution, a world of hunger, blackouts, and fear. Every night at 8 o'clock, her father and her siblings would listen to the Voice of America. The volume was turned down low because listening to the VOA was a crime. So they feared letting anyone know, friends or neighbors, what they were doing. But they took the risk and listened because VOA, along with Radio Free Europe, were the only sources of information about the world and what was happening inside Romania. To them, VOA was a voice of hope. That child grew up, came to the United States a few years ago, and I'm happy to tell you she now works for the VOA. So will you please join me in recognizing Miss Anna Ward. Anna? There you are. Now in the 21st century, people like Anna in the far reaches of the globe continue to search for credible sources of news and are using new technology to do so. Recently, Chairman Isaacson challenged us to be more innovative and creative, to transform the way we reach our audiences in the digital age, to not only use new channels and media tools to disseminate our journalism and our content, but to also to interact, to engage with people, to share information, to set up peer-to-peer networks rather than just hand down the news. And we at the IBB must and will rise to this challenge. The VOA language services are already posting, sharing, and syndicating multimedia content. We have more than 20 interactive mobile sites that encourage users to email and share news and information around the world. We've developed new tools that make it easy for our users around the globe to share their personal photos and videos from their wireless devices. Our Learning English website enables users to interact with avatars to practice their English lessons and to learn about our culture. And by merging the use of social media with mobile platforms, we're enabling people to screen our materials and to download broadcast quality material. And we are pushing hard for total internet freedom. Through technical innovations and evolution, our IBB engineers are unlocking the internet for audiences in China, Iran, and elsewhere. But as Chairman Isaacson reminded us, we consolidate traditional and new media, and we know our limited resources, and we can never lose sight of the fundamental mission to foster freedom through credible journalism and to get it distributed all over the world. As you must know, the work of our courageous BBG journalists is known around the world. In fact, one of our Uzbek journalists was tried and fined last week for simply reporting, for just doing his job. The work of us peons in the IBB, however, is less known, but absolutely essential to getting and keeping all of our services distributed. For example, as was pointed out, the IBB operates vital transmission stations in isolated places like Sri Lanka and Botswana. We combat the efforts of Iran, Ethiopia, and others to jam our programs. We find hundreds of affiliates around the world that carry our content. We provide much of the research on which our programming is based. We recruit, train, and support the professionals who produce that programming and ensure that they're treated fairly and safely around the world. And we provide the facilities and equipment that they need to do their jobs. In hundreds of ways, the IBB enables this agency to make a difference in the world. I'm proud to serve this important institution, and I'm counting on a terrific group of co-workers to keep us successful. As you've heard, we have great challenges before us. We must become even more efficient and more flexible, more creative, and faster in supporting our broadcast entities. We need to find better ways of doing what we do. In fact, we need to find ways of doing things we've never done before. Given all of that, I'm delighted to be here and to follow the lead of Chairman Isaacson and his fellow governors. And as I said earlier, it's one of the greatest honors that I can imagine. So to all my agency colleagues, I ask for your support and your ideas, and let's move forward together. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick, and congratulations. I would now like to introduce Ms. Thea Lobo, who's Dick's granddaughter, and a professional mezzo-soprano who earned degrees in voice and opera at New England Conservatory and Boston University. Accompanied by Mr. Frank Conlon on keyboard, Ms. Lobo will grace this special day with her rendition of America the Beautiful.
Thank you. I'd like to take a moment on behalf of the grandchild generation. Some of you may or may not know, this is Dick Lobo's birthday today. And we'd like to provide a little message. G major.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Papa, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Thea, for that truly beautiful rendition of America the Beautiful. To close out our ceremony, I'd like to call on Rabbi Andrew Baker, who's a dear friend of Dick and Karen Lobo, to deliver an interfaith benediction. Rabbi Baker is Director of International Jewish Affairs for the American Jewish Committee. Rabbi Baker.
Thank you. It really is a great pleasure and honor to have this opportunity to join in these official swearing-in ceremonies. I've known Dick and Karen for over 30 years, and I'm proud to say that I officiated at their wedding. Now, Dick is Jewish in spirit, if not in blood. He has, after all, had a long career in broadcasting. Although even for the latter, it should be said that after a recent visit to his family's ancestral village in Spain, there may be some questions there as well. Now, I know there's been another more recent roots trip for the Broadcasting Board last week to Prague. It is, of course, the home of Radio Free Europe, and 20 years ago it was the scene of a velvet revolution that toppled a communist regime and brought about the reestablishment of democratic rule. Similar revolutionary changes took place in other Eastern European capitals as communism gave way to freedom. Many of the leaders of those revolutions tell how they were informed and heartened and nourished by the daily broadcasts from Radio Free Europe and Voice of America through some of those darkest and most difficult periods. I don't know if you, while in Prague, Dick, had the opportunity to visit the new City Hall. In Prague, the new City Hall is about 100 years old. It's a beautiful Art Nouveau building if you look at it, on the right cornice, there is a statue of Rabbi Judah Lowe, who was also known as the Maharal of Prague, perhaps the most famous rabbi of Prague who lived at the end of the 16th century. Opposite his statue on the left side is a statue of the Iron Knight. And together they were intended to symbolize the temporal and spiritual forces of the city. It is, of course, unusual that a rabbi would be selected to serve this purpose, but it was an indication of the tolerance and diversity that were hallmarks of the Czech lands a century ago. Rabbi Lowe is perhaps most famous for the legend that identifies him as the creator of the golem, a mythical creature formed out of mud, which served as a protector for the community. But as a rabbi who was both a scholar and a Kabbalist, he is known for having infused spirituality into a Judaism that had become overly scholastic. Rabbi Lowe spoke his mind freely and was a critic of the selfishness of community leaders and of the appointment of corrupt judges. Perhaps then it was no surprise that he was passed over in the selection of chief rabbi. Preaching to a packed synagogue in 1584, before that decision was taken, he spoke of the dignity of man at the pinnacle of creation. But he added that dignity in words of a warning to the congregation, that dignity could be lost by living meanly. These days, and particularly in the field of broadcasting, there is no shortage of people living meanly. But Dick Lobo is certainly not one of them. As those of us who know him well can attest, he's quite the opposite. In fact, he's managed to combine a remarkable professional career with warmth and kindness and sensitivity. It has served him well, and I am sure it will serve well those with whom he works now. And so as we say, Dick, chazak, chazak, v'nichazek, may you go from strength to strength.
Thank you, Rabbi Baker. Karen and Dick Lobo cordially invite everyone to join them for some refreshments in the lobby just outside the auditorium. As you do, go out to the lobby, take a moment to look at the beautiful Depression-era murals by artist Ben Shahn on the lobby walls. And for anyone interested in taking a tour of VOA's nearby TV studio and news center, which are both adjacent to the lobby, volunteer guides will be available with a sign out in the lobby. So please avail yourself of them. It's a good tour. I urge you to take a look. Now we come to the end of our happy occasion here. Thank you all for coming this afternoon. All of us wish you the very best, Dick. Good luck and Godspeed. Thank you.